want to continue the sermon I started this morning. If you have your Bibles, we'll turn with me. A very familiar verse of Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 1. The life-changing effects of the wind of God. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That God can change our lives by letting us be born again so that we're no longer of the flesh but of the Spirit. I don't know where we lost that teaching. Where people say, well, I'm still flesh. But according to Scripture, you're supposed to be spiritually minded. And I know you're in the flesh. You ever gone to church? And people get to shouting and there's always some wet blanket hollering, well, I don't want to get in the flesh. You're already in the flesh. You showed up church in the flesh. You got to get in the Spirit. Some of you should be just trying to keep getting in the flesh. You never get out of the Spirit, into the Spirit. Amen. John chapter 3, Jesus said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God with you with him. Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born to the flesh is flesh, but that that is born to the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, you touch this house and move on us with your power. Let your love move in our lives. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you just reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look at him, say, well, I feel it. I don't know what you feel, but you feel it, Lord. So I said, preacher, why you do that? Because I've been watching since I walked up here, and some of you ain't smiled yet. At least looking at your neighbor, you'll grin a little bit. Glory. Amen. Makes it easier to preach to you when you're smiling. Amen. Nobody wants to preach to. Amen. We talked this morning about the wind of God and how God moves through the power of his anointing, and he moves like the wind. You know where he came from, how he got there, you just realize he was there. Amen. Glory. You know, that's the great thing about God. He is with us, the Bible said, always. So no matter where we are, he's there. That's something to keep in mind when you think nobody's looking. Because the one thing you can't do is pull the wool over God's eyes, because he's there. God knows what you think. God knows what you thought. God knows what you think you thought. God knows what you think you're going to think. So think about that. He said he knows every thought and intent of the heart. So when you want to say something and you don't say it, God knew you wanted to. Hello? That's pretty good stuff. But we need to realize that he said, you must be born again. He's talking to a religious leader, a man that studied the word all of his life. He's a leader of the temple. He's got all kind of religion. He said, religion's not good enough. You need to be born again. Because you were born to the flesh. That's what he's talking about. Saying when you're born of water, you know, you're in the flesh. And according to statistical science, you're 85% water. Hello? In case y'all think too much of yourself, just realize you ain't nothing but a sack of dirt with water in it. Lord. Hello? The Bible said, from dust you came, to dust you're going to return. What's going to happen is when the rapture takes place, you know, God, all the water's going to leave his body. It's going to turn back to dust, and the spirit and the soul's going to depart and go get a whole new body. Amen. And that body's going to be totally different. It ain't going to have no more pain, no more heartache, no more trouble, no more trials. He'll be able to pass through walls. Glory. Man, I can't wait. I can just think about Jerusalem and I can be over there. Amen. Glory. Somebody said, why'd you want to go to Jerusalem? Well, I don't need to go to the tomb. I've been there. It's empty. Glory. Hello? I'm not like people that are Buddhist. I'm not going to the place where Buddha's buried. I done been to the place where Jesus was buried. He's gone. Angel told him 2,000 years ago he's gone. I've been by there since, and he's still gone. Amen. So I'm not getting anything out of the tomb. Glory. I just want to go to Jerusalem because that's where God meets with man. Somebody said, how you know that? That's why the Temple Mount's so important. Jacob, when he looked across the valley of Kidron and he saw the Mount Moriah, he saw a ladder ascending into heaven. And he saw angels descending and ascending with the prayers of the saints going up. And that's why the temple was built on that mount. That's why it's important. Because even to this day, a Jew praying points toward Jerusalem because they believe that is the open door into heaven. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, do you do that? No, my Bible said, make me an altar. Wherever I am, I can just make one because my God's not sitting at the top of that ladder. He's right here beside me and he's moving with me 24/7, 365 days out of the year because I have been born again through the power of Almighty God. I'm not tied to God through a church affiliation. I'm not tied to God because somebody prayed for me. I'm tied to God because I came to know him as my personal Savior and he is real in my life. Could you say amen? Glory. I'd hate to know I went through church having to have somebody tell me. See, that's what happened to me in the church of God. Everywhere I'd gone to church before, they'd always go, the Spirit's moving. Well, that was my cue to get out. I went to the church of God. They didn't say a thing. I ended up in the altar and got saved. I didn't know he was there until he got a hold of me. No warning whatsoever. Glory. I see somebody right now. I've been in Church of God's where they told you. I've been in somewhere they had to tell you. I've been in a few of them where I wasn't really sure he showed up. We were laughing the other day. I was talking to a pastor. He come up to me and he said, you remember that night you was preaching for me and you walked out the front door and I didn't know where in the world you was going. I was at a church that was so laid back and easy going. If an amen happened, the wind would crack. And I'm preaching, and the Holy Ghost hit the place. Three people got filled with the Holy Ghost. This one lady that was a banker goes dancing down the middle aisle. I'd never seen a woman even move, much less dance. And I mean, these people were going crazy. And I've been down there 4 or 5 times. I walked out the front door. A few minutes, the pastor come out the door, and I'm standing in front of the church. He said, what are you doing? I said, I was making sure I was at this church. I ain't never seen nothing like this. I thought I took a wrong turn, went to the wrong place. He got delayed, and he said, idiot, we can't go back in acting like this. I said, why? They won't notice it. Glory. But the reality is we've got a lot of churches today that the wind's not allowed inside. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be in a wind tunnel. Glory. My wife's shaking her head. She knows what I want to tell y'all, but I won't. I shared it with the council. I thought they ought to know. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Since y'all provided the money for it to happen, we were under the falls in Niagara walking through a tunnel. And Frida's in front of me. She's put around. She said, it's like walking in a tunnel, ain't it? I'm like, Frida, this is a tunnel. She said, oh, shut up. Her hair used to be black till she dyed it. Now she's full blonde. Glory. She knew I'd tell y'all sooner or later. I couldn't pass that F. I mean, we took an elevator down several hundred feet. Come out in this place and we walking through a hole that's just big enough for two of us to walk beside. Just like walking in a tunnel. Lord. But I want to be in a place like that where when the wind blows, I'm going to get hit. Hello? I want the wind to blow where I am. I want God to move. But you need, we understand that God's wind is his breath. And the breath of God is what made man come to life. Somebody said, preacher, you don't have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. But I believe the Spirit of God's what gives life to your spiritual being. And the problem we got so many people get born again and they think, oh, that's the end of the experience. That's the beginning of the experience. You just got to the place now you can walk into God's marketplace and get everything he's got for you. And it all comes through the anointing of the Spirit of God in your life. And when God breathes into you the breath of life, suddenly there's a difference in the way you feel. There is a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. There's a peace that pass all understanding. There is a power of God in you to believe in him like you never had before. And we need that in the church today. God, breathe on us a fresh breath, an anointing, and a power of your love. Let me point this out to you, church. One of the biggest problems we have in the world is that we don't breathe properly. I'm not one to talk. I busted a blood vessel because I didn't know how to breathe. 1975, I quit my job to be a full-time preacher. That was in October. In November, I busted a blood vessel on my vocal cords because the doctor comes in and don't ever go to ear, nose, throat doctor unless you really want to know how long your tongue is. He said, stick your tongue out, say, ah. I'd done that before. The doctor puts a stick on it, looks down your throat. He might gag you a little bit, but he looks down and he said, he wrapped something around it. And I wasn't sure he didn't put his foot on it. And it's an old man, white-headed, wrinkled. He's looking down my throat going, oh, God. Well, I can't say nothing. He's got my tongue in his hand. And I'm sitting there thinking, what's he oh God-ing about? Oh. That's bad. He looked at the nurse and said, go get Dr. Schatz. That's his young doctor taking over. Fresh out of UAB, the research hospital. He's still holding my tongue. He ain't letting go. I can't find out what he's bringing Dr. Schatz in for. Dr. Schatz walks in, looks down my throat and said, you're right. I ain't seen nothing like that at UAB. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but they got my attention. He turned loose on my tongue. Anybody understand he's had my tongue for a while? He let it go. It don't work. I'm like, and he said, we'll be right back. They shot out the door. I'm sitting there going, nothing. He finally comes back in. He looks at me. He says, can you do anything besides preach? I said, dude, I just quit my job to be a preacher. He said, can you get it back? I said, well, I don't really think I can considering how I left. I mean, I walked in on a Monday morning and the guy looked at me and said, you got to do so and so, so and so, and so and so. And I told the Lord that weekend, I said, if he puts something in front of me I don't normally do, I'm going to quit. I'll know it's your will. He gave me a list of things I had to do. I said, nah, I'll just quit. I went back home, walked in the apartment. Frida said, what are you doing home? I said, I just quit. I believe it's God's will. She said, I hope so. I've heard that a lot in my life. So far, it's always worked out. I start preaching, blow that blood vessel out, they put me on voice rest, and all of a sudden, it don't look like I knew what I was talking about. 8 weeks was what he said. 8 weeks. I got to go through Thanksgiving, going to where the family is. And can't talk. I got to find a job to make money, so I went to work with her dad. And I knew God wasn't in that. Of course, it turned out he was, but I was wrong on that one. And church, I always worked all my life. I got no problem working. But while I was selling chemical and paper products, the job I just quit, I played golf every day. I walked around in shirt and sock tie and corduroy jacket and sold stuff and wrote invoices. And I didn't do a lot of physical labor. I go to work with her daddy the first 2 days I worked. I like to have died. And I don't know if y'all understand this now, but I wasn't about to let them know I was dying. I'm trying to drive nails, cramping up. I was filthy. I didn't know how to keep them getting dirty. I ruined a brand new pair of pants and messed up a brand new pair of Brogan boots. But you know what? I made it about 4 or 5 weeks. Roger Jacobs called me the Sunday after Thanksgiving. He said, "How you doing tomorrow, boy?" I said, "Nothing. Why?" He said, "You come preach for me?" I said, "I'm feeling better. I'm going." I didn't call ask the doctor. I went. I didn't think I was going to be there just Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was just going to preach for him the Sunday after Thanksgiving. I preached that morning, and he turned around and he said, "What are you doing this week?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "Why are you off?" I said, "Well, I don't have anything scheduled." He said, "You do now." He turned around and said, "We start revival this morning with this guy." 2.5 weeks later, we closed the revival, and I preached every night, every service. I went back to the doctor to get my voice rest. He looked at my throat, and he said, "Yeah, we're doing good. I'm going to let you preach a time or two, see what it does." Lord. Now, church, if you pay a doctor, you ought to do what he says. He said, "I would never be able to preach 3 times a week. I didn't for 35 years. It was 5, 6, 7, but never 3. Glory. But the reality was, I got into the presence of God. God's breath got into me and my life changed. And what I'm trying to tell you is when that breath gets in you, things are different. Chaos is no longer the chaos when you've got that peace that passes all understanding. Amen. I took a picture. It's on the camera, and I hope I can find it. There's a little bird sitting down there on a rock. We was watching all that water go by. Number 5 rapids out there. The water going crazy, and this little bird sitting on a rock, and the water splattering around him. He just sitting there. And I'm thinking, now that's the way we ought to be. Total chaos around us, and we're just like, it don't bother me. God's in this, and me and him going to be okay. Come on, church. Come on, see, some of y'all look like you're crazy. I guess Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was crazy. They're looking at a furnace. The guy saying, "I'm going to turn it up 7 times hotter than it's supposed to be. We're going to kill the guys putting you in, and it's going to fry you." And they said, "Do whatever you got to do, O king. But our God whom we serve is going to take care of us. Some of us need to get a hold of God, get born again enough that we look at the devil in the eye and say, 'Wait a minute, my God whom I serve is able and faithful to bring me through.'" I was back there listening to a guy preach before church. Actually, it was a sermon from 2009 I preached here. Glory. I'm not bad as one of our old preachers. There used to be a man, we'd all get together as evangelists, and we'd go to preach for this guy. And the one thing we wanted to do was just see the man clap his hands, do something. He was a great guy, but he didn't move. He would just. I get a phone call one Sunday afternoon. Stanley Hornsby said, "The dude lost it this morning, Stroop." Jumped up, shouted all over the place while Stanley was preaching. I said, "Well, what did he say happens?" He said, "I asked him after church, 'What did I say got you excited?'" He said, "It wasn't nothing you said. I was thinking about the sermon I was preaching last week." Glory. But I was reading about something. And it's in Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter. I'm just going to quote it. It said, "The showers have been withholding." Why? Because you played with the world and you didn't hold on to God. And therefore, there is no latter rain. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" It only rains about twice a year over in Israel. You might get a little sprinkling once in a while, but real rain only happens about twice a year. It's a weird climate. And church, we're not talking about just a little hot. We're talking about if it ain't been raining, that ground's breaking open. It's dry. We were there in April. It was 110 degrees. I'm about to burn up in the room. I go down there. So the girl said, "Hey, I can't get the air to come on my room." She said, "We don't have it on yet." I said, "Say what?" She said, "Well, it's not hot enough yet." I said, "Lady, where I'm from, it's 75. We got the air on." She says, "Leave the window open at night, pull that little shade thing across there to keep the flies out, and it'll cool down enough the room, it'll stay cool most of the day." might be for them. It got cold at night, but by 10 o'clock next morning, it was hot in that room. But it's been that way for days now. The water's been withheld. It's dry. It's barren. Do you realize we got people in the church who are so messed up they don't even understand the reason they have no joy and the reason they have no peace and the reason they seem to fall apart every time something goes wrong is that the showers of God have been withholding from them and their life is falling apart because they don't realize they have become barren because there is no latter rain and they need a fresh touch. They need an outpouring of God. They need God's wind to come and move in their life. Listen, the wind transforms us from who we were to who we become in God. Wimps become monsters under the anointing of God. That's why the devil don't want nobody to get anointed. He push people around to get anointed. Amen. Wind generates power. The most powerful entity in this world other than water is wind. It can make more energy than even atomic nuclear plants can if they just put up things and let them spin. Amen. And I know, you know, we think about wind here, but if you just go out west, you'll see what wind's all about. Around here, we got mountains and trees out there. They got nothing. We're talking about wind getting so strong it flips railroad train cars off a track while it's going. There's a place near Glacier National Park that put a cement windbreak up because the wind would come through there and knock the trains off the track. And I'm like, we don't experience that kind of wind. Oh, but I wish we'd get one. Because you see, I'm getting to the next point, and it's important. But you see, wind not only generates power, but wind is a penetrative and destructive force. Someone said, preacher, what are you talking about? Wind's a penetrative and destructive force. Have you ever seen devastation of a hurricane? You ever been on the coast after a hurricane's gone through? I've been privileged to be in Gulf Shores after Camille. I was there after Katrina. They don't compare. I understand Camille was bad, but Katrina was a lot worse. I mean, pieces of steel twisted like somebody just took it and rolled it up like you would a rag trying to squeeze the water out of it. Things just completely tore apart, ripped up, and destroyed that once was mighty buildings. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm thinking the force of that wind that came in had to be so unreal. Amen. And, you know, church, it was bad. And the thing is, it got all the way up through Mississippi with steel, had winds 80, 85 mile an hour. It passed between Tuscaloosa and Columbus, Mississippi. I got in my front yard. The wind was blowing so bad, I leaned backwards and could not fall because the wind was pushing me the other way. Glory. The wind gushed through the window one time, knocked the cat in the wall. She wouldn't get around me for 2 days. Thought I threw her. Wind is a destructive force. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute. I don't want something to come in and tear up my life. Some of you need your life tore up. You got junk in your life you needed out a long time ago, and you need a good old-fashioned storm to come flying through from God and to tear down some walls you need tore down and to move some things you need moved. You need the destructive power of the wind of God to come into your life, tear it down, and then build it back up in faith that only God can give. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. I am. But notice what it said in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold the threatenings and the grant unto thy servant, that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the thing which it possessed was his own, but they held all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with great grace was upon them all. I've been privileged to be several places where the Holy Ghost was poured out at the turn of the century. Only in Romania, we went by a little house. It's in the middle of an apple orchard. They preserved that house. The Pentecostal Church of Romania holds it as a treasured place, just like we do here, schoolhouse in North Carolina and places like that that were important to us and our foundations, or Azusa Street to the Assembly of God in California. There was a lady there with a garter. She had been praying for God to heal her. And knows what a garter is. It's a growth on your neck. And she was laying on a windowsill. This house had a bedroom, a kitchen dining room, and a living room and a door. That's it. Little shotgun house. And she's sitting on a bench, leaning out that window praying, and the Holy Ghost fell on her. She began to speak in tongues. The garter disappeared while the Holy Ghost was moving on her. People in the apple orchard working get to looking at it, start walking over to the windowsill, and she's reaching out, touching them. They're falling out in the spirit. Several thousand people got saved, and the several-week revival broke out in that apple orchard and established what is the Pentecostal Church in Romania. And just so you know, they lasted through communism. They lasted through all the problems that they've had in Romania. And today, close to 2 million Romanians are filled with the spirit of a God that we believe in. And they walk and talk and live like we do. They believe in the power of Almighty God like we do. Probably even more, because they have to exist in an economy where they have very little to live on. They can't run to a doctor. They have to believe that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all in their life. Amen. I was sitting there as we were going through that room, and I sat down on that little bench and leaned out on that windowsill, and old Tom looked up and said, "We got to go." I was with Tom George. I said, "Go ahead." He said, "You can't find us." I said, "I'll meet y'all at the airport." I like what I feel when I feel what I'm feeling right now, and I don't want to move. It was like God was just kind of vibrating in me while I was leaning on that windowsill. At church, we need that to happen in the house of God again. We need God to come down and tear down some of the things we put in our life and allowed in our life, to let the power and the grace of God begin to move on us again, so we can walk in His Spirit. We need a fresh move of God, a fresh touch of God. My Bible tells me in the last days there will be showers of blessings. I want even one of those thunderstorms myself. Glory. The wind is one of the most powerful forces on earth. God wants our life to be governed by the wind of His Spirit. Preacher, can you prove that? Ephesians said, "Be not drunk on wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Church, if we've ever desired anything, we ought to be in a hunger for the anointing of the presence of God, for the life-changing power of the wind of God. Notice when they were in the upper room, the Bible said the room was shaken by the power of God. When Paul and Silas was in the jail in the midnight hour, they started having church, got to worshiping God. And what happened? The building shook so bad, chains fell off of people that were bound. Suddenly they were free. The jailer got so excited, he ran down to Paul and said, "What have I got to do to get what you got?" I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to be in a building where it got to shaking and some people going, "Ooh, ooh, ooh." And we think it was an earthquake, but it was just God tapping His foot while we were worshiping. Glory. Come on, church. Don't look at me like that. Read your Bible. The earth is His footstool. He's got His foot right beside this building. We get Him excited, He'll start tapping His foot just like you and I do. And the next thing you know, and the next thing you know, He'll lean on and go, and this whole place will light up. And there'll be a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And the Holy Spirit of God will move in our lives and touch us. Say, "Preacher, you're crazy." It might be. But I've seen God move in places I didn't think He could move. And I've seen God do things that I could have never experienced in Alabama. I remember going to New York to preach. The pastor said, I need you to get here on Saturday, but you won't preach till Sunday night. I said, can I find somewhere to preach Sunday morning? I don't want to drive to New York, Long Island, New York, and drive two nights and get there and show up and not get to preach. He said, no. You need to see church before you take over church. People in church. He's up there preaching. He goes to the altar call. He said, everybody wants the Holy Ghost. Come up here. They didn't walk up and line across the church like we do. They lined up down now. He said, come here, preacher. I want you to watch this. He walked down. He said, I believe God to touch you now in the name of Jesus. He laid hands on the front one. They looked like dominoes falling. The one behind would catch, one behind would catch, one behind would catch. Finally, the last one was caught by somebody laid in the floor. There was 18 people in that line. Every one of them hit the floor speaking in tongues. And I went, whoa. He said, now you know why I wanted you here? I wanted you to realize we don't beat them and shake them up like y'all do. We just pray for them. They get the Holy Ghost. Glory. Come on, church. Sacramento, California. National Convention of Romanian Churches Youth Night. I was preaching without an interpreter because the young people understand you. The older folks were sitting in the back and the interpreter was telling them what I was saying, but all the youth were up front because it was youth night. And I'm preaching and I give the altar call. And I preached on the breath of God and the Holy Ghost was just flowing in the building. These kids come down, they fall in the altar, throw their hands up in the air. And man, the Holy Ghost is falling all over the place. I got people speaking in tongues all over. There were 70-something young people received the Holy Ghost in that service that night. And I got my mind blown because this one little boy standing there and I'm praying for him and all of a sudden he starts going, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And the Romanian pastors just started shouting all over the place. And I grabbed Brother Buya, my interpreter. I said, what's going on? He said, he don't speak English. I said, do what? He said, he got here from Romania yesterday. He don't speak no English at all. And he's standing there speaking in English, and it blew my mind. I didn't realize English to him was an unknown tongue. And what he was doing, he was praising God, but he didn't have a clue what he was saying because God had put it in him. You say, preacher, that's crazy. No, it's not. That's the way God operates. That's the way God moves. Amen. Some of y'all remember Jonathan Augustine that came and preached for us? He felt God leading him to Bulgaria, could not speak one word of Bulgarian, went there hoping to find somebody to interpret for him, got to the airport, somebody said something to him, he answered them and realized he was speaking Bulgarian and he fluently speaks Bulgarian without ever taking a lesson. He is the overseer of Bulgaria now, preaches without interpreter through the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, what you talking about? We need that kind of a shake in the house of God in Alabama where we see God move like never before and we get hungry. God, tear me down, fill me with your wind. Transform me with your power. Stand with me all over the house. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your love, your mercy, your power, your grace. Holy, holy God. Flow, God. Flow in this house. Flow. In this house, move on us, God. Oh, I believe with all my heart, God is here to blow. The wind is moving in these altars tonight. And I believe it's time some of us walk down and said, God, blow through me. Blow through me. God, blow through my life. God, blow through all the problems I'm dealing with and tear them out of my life and give me peace and give me joy. God. Right now, the Spirit of God's moving. Someone needs to be in this altar, needs to move right now. You keep waiting on something to happen. God's ready to move. Some of you need to be up here, hands raised, just saying, breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me. Blow in me a fresh breath. Blow in me a fresh anointing. Blow in me a fresh touch of your glory. Let the wind of God just begin to blow. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, send your breath. God, send your wind. God, not just a normal wind, but a wind that'll saturate and blow us apart. Put our life back together with your glory. Oh, hallelujah.